title of my sermon today is very simple. He's been good. He's been good. Brethren, I tell you the truth, and I lie not. I can tell you the Lord has been good. The Lord has been good to us as a church, as individual families within the church, as individuals even within the church. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. Let's bow our hearts to pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, as we look into your word of life, Jehovah, please speak to us. Jehovah, as many as today are still discouraged, even at this point, Lord, encourage them. That they speak to our hearts. Lord, give us a hope and a future by your word in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer, for in Jesus' mighty name I have prayed. Amen. When you look at this text, this is our motto as a church. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. When it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, what it's saying to us is a guaranteed assurance of his faithfulness. It means all of yesterday, whether I know it or not, the Lord has been good. The Lord has been good. One of the things that I realize is that if God will show us the horde of hell that is against us, many of us will not be able to do anything else. We'll be paralyzed. You know, the fact that I believe this with all of my heart, because the scripture says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, it says, sufficient to each day is the trouble therein. Every day is loaded with trouble. The fact that there is no trouble knocking on your door does not mean there's no trouble that day. There is sufficient trouble for, you see that? It says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Every day is loaded with evil. The fact that evil did not happen to me and did not happen to you does not mean evil did not happen someplace else. Jesus, the same yesterday, tells us he has been faithful. And I said the title this morning is simply, he's been good. He's been good. Mark chapter 10, verse 18. Mark chapter 10, verse 18. The Bible says, Jesus said unto him, he said, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. And that is the God that calls you son. That is the God that calls you daughter. That is my God. That is my Father. That is my King. That is my Lord. That is my Savior. And I believe he is the same for you today. It says there is no one that is good but God. So he's telling us that God, our God, is a good God. Say, how do you know, Pastor? I tell you that you can see the goodness of God in his actions, in the things that God does. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119 and verse 68, Psalm 119 verse 68, it says, you are good and you what? You do good. You are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. The psalmist, David, is one man that really, really understood God. How many of us know that? When you see his writings, you will know that this man, he has touched the heart of God. Amen? Inspired by the Holy Spirit, he wrote. And many of the things he wrote about were his personal experiences. For example, Psalm 51. Did you know that he wrote Psalm 51 as a consequence of his sin with Bathsheba? The things he wrote were as a consequence of his own life experiences. David is telling us here by this Holy Spirit, he says, no, we are not talking about that. Uh-huh, thank you. He said, thou art good and you do good. The Lord is good and he doeth good. He's a good God and he's always doing good things in our lives, even though we may not perceive them to be so. Listen, like the person that the Lord gave a word this morning, when they shot the arrow for their head, the person that shot was an expert shooter. The reason they missed is not because they were not good at it. The reason they missed is as the arrow was coming, God ducked your head. And when he ducked it, he took your cap. You know, God allows certain things to happen in our lives sometimes so that we are aware of our surroundings. You know, some of us, if life is just going hunky-dory, we will think, oh, there's no problem in life. Life is just good. Let me just do whatever I like. It's okay. No, it's not. No, it's not. God is good and he does good things. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 18. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 18. The Bible says, for a multitude of the people, many from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover, contrary to what was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, may the good Lord provide atonement for everyone. Listen to me. Like I said to us earlier on as we were praying, there are some of us, if God will judge us for every act that we have done this year, we will not be here today. If we have to pay the penalty for everything, every sin that we have committed this year, none of us can stand. I can't even stand. Amen? None of us can stand. The Bible is, so in his great goodness, in his wonderful goodness, in his gracious goodness, the Bible says God overlooked their foolishness. They were in such a hurry. When you understand Bible history, you will know that at this point, they had not had Passover for hundreds of years. I think about 200 or 300 years. They had not had the Passover. So when Hezekiah came, Hezekiah the reformer, he said, no, go dig in the temple and bring out the laws of God. And they dug out in the temple, they found the laws of God. He said, we're going to go back to Passover. We're going to do the Passover. The people were so excited. They did not have time enough to do all the cleansing ceremony they needed to do. They went and they ate the Passover. They should be dead. They should be dead by now. And I know there are some of us today, you know, the blasphemy. What they did was sacrilegious. Some of us have done worse than sacrilegious sins. The blasphemy we have done in the name of the Lord, against the name of the Lord, if the Lord should judge that situation, the situation will be terrible. What I want us to do today is very simple. I want us to indulge a little bit looking in the rear view mirror. You know, when you're driving, you cannot be fixated on the rear view mirror. If you are, the car will crash. Amen. But today, I just want us to do a quick look back. A quick look back. In January, that thing that God helped you to bury by his grace. Amen. That thing that you did, that like these people, that if God were to judge them for that situation, it would not have been pretty. But he has been merciful to you. He has been merciful to me. I'm telling you that he's been good. It's been good. There's a song that I love, but I don't sing it well, you know, but so pardon me. It said, I have known the Father's care for me. He's been good. He's been good. Through it all, he's always there for me. God's been good to me. Through the storms, through the night, come what may, everything's gonna be all right. I have known the Father's care for me. God's been good to me. I can see on your face that, Pastor, you didn't do too badly. Friends, God has been good to us. In spite of us, it's been good. Like I told us last Sunday, the very fact that we are alive is a proof of his goodness. The very fact that we can complain about anything at all is a testimony of his goodness. Because there is no dead person that can complain. There is no complaining in the grave. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, he said, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing what? Doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Friends, God has visited my house many times coming, doing good. God has visited this church many times coming, doing good. I still remember not just too long ago, December 11th to be precise, about 6 p.m. in the evening, I went to my bathroom to take a leak, like they say, to pee. I was standing there peeing, And the next thing I knew, I blacked out. I slumped over the toilet, and my wife was the one that was telling the story after. I was in the hospital. The doctors couldn't find anything. Friends, I'm telling you, the devil is alive and well. The devil is alive and well. But Jesus of Nazareth, stopped by my house that day. He said, "My son, Adekoye Sonny, your assignment is not over. It does not matter what the enemy throws at you. It does not matter the arrow the enemy shoots at you. I am here for you. I will stand by you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will keep you. I will uphold you. I will defend you against all odds." Friends, God has been good. God has been good. You know, this year I was thinking about it, and I realized that there are many people that God has given them their dream. God has given them their dream. I believe it was Tracy, how many of us remember Tracy Akinade of iConnect Faith? She was telling me, she said, "Pastor, when she was leaving San Antonio, she was very sad because everything she has asked of the Lord had done for her." And she said, "I have wanted this position like nothing you can believe, Pastor." And she was the least qualified. But she got it all anyway. She got it anyway. Yinka is here today. Yinka, I know I saw her in the back. Yinka was sharing her testimony last Sunday. You know, the first time she came to Salvation Center, she said she needed to see myself and my wife. And she was talking to us about dental school. "I want to go to dental school. This is my desire. This DAT is the stumbling block. This is the mountain between me and my dental profession." But today, she's in dental school. Friends, God has been good. God has been good. This year, we had two couples this year that had waited 7 years for the fruit of the womb. And God answered them this year. God has been good. God has been faithful. I may not know your story, but you know your story. I don't need to tell you your story. You already know your story. That in your life, God has shown himself wonderful. Mighty God, Counselor, King of Peace, Prince of Peace, the everlasting God. He has shown himself strong and mighty on your behalf. On your behalf. He has been good. Somebody shared a testimony with us this year. He said, "What I used to make in 1 year is what I make in a month now." The annual salary became the monthly salary. God can do it for you too. I receive. God can add zeros to the end of what is the situation now. And the Lord will surprise us in Jesus' name. Friends, what am I saying? God has been good to us. He has been good to us. So in his goodness, he has done many things. And by his actions, we can tell his goodness. And not only by his actions, by his gifts to us, we can also tell his goodness. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, James 1:17, the Bible says, "Every good and every perfect gift is from above, and they come down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." Amen. All these examples we have given, they are also true, because God has given them their heart desire. Perhaps you have not received your heart desire yet. This year, I have good news for you. Open to Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 7. The Bible says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land." Amen. Your amen is not born again. No. It says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills." Last month, we were talking about God's promises. Friends, a promise is something that is yours, but you have not gotten it yet. Because if you have received it, it's not a promise. Amen? A promise is yours. It's just not in your hands yet. If I say, tomorrow, we will... I'll take you to lunch tomorrow. by the grace of God, you know, money to pay for lunch. You know, this is my sister. I don't know if you, biological. My older sister. And she said, I'm making her feel old. She just looks young. She's done the golden jubilee already. You know, so I said, I'll take you out to lunch tomorrow. That's a promise. That's a promise. And you know that the one that has promised is able to fulfill what they have promised. Mommy, you don't have any reason to doubt because you know it's capable. You know, how much will lunch cost? God help us. Even if it's $50, even if it's $100, by the grace of God. Come on now. So if I promise I will take you to lunch tomorrow, will you be wondering, hey, who, ye, ha, oh, ha, maybe, where? You don't panic. You don't panic. If it doesn't happen tomorrow, it must mean, and many of you, you know this about me, if I give you time, you know that my time is my time. I will be there if I say I'm going to be there. If I am not there, you know a serious thing has happened. When the thing happened, the enemy tried to mess with me. Many people said they called. He said, Pastor, we called you. I texted you. You didn't reply. I said, this is unusual. This is not like Pastor. If he doesn't pick the phone, he will call back. If you text him, if he doesn't text you, if he will return your text. Amen. When you know the one that has promised, the one that says, I am bringing you into a good land. If you know him, you will rejoice in that fact. Why? Because he is able to deliver. It's not the one that will promise and cannot deliver on his promise. Praise the Lord. God has been good to us. And this year we have seen him deliver on many promises that he has made. Deaconess April and I were talking, and she told me, she said, oh, Pastor, are we going to a prayer retreat this year? I said, sure, we're going. I said, okay, I'm on. I said, you got it, you're on. Are you in any trepidation? Maybe Pastor will not take me. He will not. He will leave me. No, she knows. I have made a promise unto her, and I have made promises in the past, and I have delivered on the promise. She knows this one too. I will deliver on. God will deliver on his promises to you. I say, God will deliver on his promises to you. In the name of Jesus, it will bring you to a good land. Even as we look back and we see his goodness, it reminds us that if he did it before, guess what? He can do it again, and he will do it again. I say he will do it again. In the name of Jesus. Finally this morning, his love also demonstrates his goodness in our lives. He expresses his goodness to us through his forgiveness because of his great love for us. The Bible says in Romans 3, verse 23, it says, for all have sinned and they have come short of his glory. But John 3:16, it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe in him, that thing that we have fallen short of, he says he's going to restore it back unto us. And many of us have enjoyed that. Amen. If you are born again, spirit-filled, sanctified, you know that you have this right. This glory has been restored into your life. So God is able to deliver on his promises. God is able to deliver on his promises. Psalm 86 and verse 5. Psalm 86 verse 5. He said, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive. If there is no forgiveness, it's because we have not asked for it. He said, for you, O Lord, you are good, and you are what? You are ready to forgive. Friends, can I tell us something here? Because there is a misconception in our world, in our culture today. How many of us know that the prevailing culture in America today is not an American culture? It's an aberration. This is not the original, traditional American culture. Am I correct, sir? The craziness that is happening when Brother Moses was growing up, they didn't have this craziness. When he was a young man, when he was my age. Do you understand what I'm saying? The perversion that we have now is something that started slowly in the 60s, matured in the 70s, and full-fledged by the 80s. And that's what we're living today. Praise the Lord. Many people in the prevailing culture today believe it is okay to sin and God will understand. Friends, hell has opened its mouth wide, and it cannot be satisfied. The soul that sinneth shall die. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you the truth. The soul that sinneth is express way to hell. Express ticket, first class. Amen? 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 Amen. Amen. You see, it got quiet. If I was talking about blessing now, you'd be shouting. But you can count on the goodness of the Lord. God saw the frailties of our lives, of the human nature, and because of that, he has made certain guarantees for us. The Bible says, shall we continue in sin and expect that grace will abound? He said, even I, God, I forbid it. I forbid it. Listen to me. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:26, it says, after we have come to the full knowledge of God, he said, for if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Friends, I beseech you by the mercies of God. I beg you by the mercies of God. There is great peril in a sinful lifestyle. There's great peril. There are health challenges. There are complications that can happen to you. And most of all, you can lose eternity. Do you know nobody is promised anything? Really? Really? That we are alive is by his grace. If you say time up, what can you do? What can you do? When I turned 33, which was just a few years ago, when I turned 33, I told my mom, I said, Jesus died at 33. If I have fulfilled my assignment, I am qualified to die. But not before. She said, God forbid it. I said, Jesus, what happened to Jesus now? Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Amen? So people always imagine that I will have an opportunity to repent. Hopefully. Is all I have to say. Hopefully. Friends, the Lord has been good. But if we have lived a wicked, sinful life in 2014, can we make up our minds that in 2015, we will honor the Lord? That my life will be a sacrifice to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to the I am that I am, in the name of Jesus. You can count on God's goodness. What limits his goodness in our lives is some of these things that I'm talking about now. Let me show you something from Scripture real quick. My time is up. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 40. Jeremiah 32 and verse 40. It says, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from doing them good. I will not turn away from, I'm reading the New King James Version, so if it differs from that a little bit, you know, no problem. He said, I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their heart that they will not depart from me. He said, I will do good to them. God will do good to you. He said, Jehovah will do good to you. You can count on his goodness. How do I access his goodness? Very quickly, if you are writing, write very quickly. Psalm 31, 19 and 20. Psalm 31, 19 and 20. Two things that is mentioned there. It says, oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you. Number one, those who fear you. And number two, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. Number one is the fear of God. Friends, I have come to the absolute conclusion. Well, don't let me say absolute. I have come to the conclusion that in this present age and time, the fear of God is out the window. People love God. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. He's my friend. He's my friend. I will never leave him. He will never leave me. He's my friend. Okay. Without the fear of God, you will sin repeatedly. saying you can love God and still, do you know it's not every married couple that divorce that hate each other? They love themselves, but they are in the process of divorce. Say, I love him, I love him, I love her, but the man says, I don't know what keeps coming over me. I don't know why I keep doing these things. He loves her, but he still does evil to her. If you do not have the fear of God in you, believe me, you will consistently do evil against God and against his word. Consistently. So he says two things there. He says, those who fear you and those who trust you. We're talking about how to access God's goodness. Perhaps you have not enjoyed the richness of this goodness because there's no fear and there's no trust. Number three, Psalm 84 and verse 11. Psalm 84 and verse 11. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Uprightly. Do you do right things? Amen? Do you do the right things, or do you do your own things? That's walking uprightly. Walking uprightly. Number four, Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Too many of us are in a hurry. Too many of us are in a hurry. The fact that you don't have it now does not mean God does not want you to have it. Amen? The fact that you don't have it now, I was ready to marry at age 23, 24. I mean, I was ready. I was ready. But I did not get married until age 32. If I married that chick of 23 years old, I probably would be divorced by now. Maybe somebody will have killed somebody. Let's rise to our feet. Friends, this time, this threshold is a time of reflection. I want you to take a moment. Please close your eyes and talk to the Lord in your heart. Talk to the Lord. In 2014, how was my walk with God? Was I walking faithfully? Was I upright? Do I fear God? Is the fear of God in me? What is my motivation? Why do I do the things that I do? Does the fear of God exist in my heart, or am I just going with the flow? I'm just going with the wave. I'm going with the tide. I'm riding the wave. That's all I'm doing. I don't have any walk of my own. I'm just riding the wave. Whatever your response to is to those things, I want you to talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Messed up. I'm sorry. If you will help me, which I know you will, I will do better. I want you to pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Reign, live big, be my supreme God. Take preeminence in my life. Every door that I have shut against you, I release myself. I give you permission to open every door. Occupy every room, every space, every crease, every cranny, everything in my life. Occupy, Lord. Occupy, Lord. Take all of me. Let my life be a reflection of your glory, of your power, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.